Coddersill's kickoff. This is Radio City Talk.
Right, the dust has settled a little bit on the world of F1 and the decision by Nico Rosberg to retire after winning the World Championship. Who better to talk to than Sky Sports F1 commentator Tony Jardine? Morning, Tony.
Good morning, how are you?
Thank you for joining me. I saw some picture. You were partying away the weekend, weren't you? Some awards that Nico was at?
Yeah, we did. It was the big annual Autosport Awards on Sunday night. We'd gathered in the bar near the presentation room before we went in, and Rosberg wandered in holding his trophy, quick handshake, and he asked me where the Mercedes people were, but he just won't let go of the trophy, which is great. And then yesterday he did the BRDC Awards, so I was working there and actually got sat down and interviewed him for the television. So it was great to see him, and you know, he's in a good place, isn't he?
You've spent a fair bit of time with him over the past few days, right? I think it's still a little bit of a conundrum, isn't it? It's a bizarre situation. 31 years old. I know he's put a lot into the sport, but when you win your first title, surely that gives you the impetus as a sports person to drive on for more. Pardon the pun.
Yes, it does in most cases, but I think he's taken stock of how much he's put in over the 10 years and certainly how much he's put in over the last 3 years and the battering that he's taken from Hamilton and how much it actually took him to win the title this year. And he had to develop unnaturally a very steely resolve, which you saw in Barcelona when the two of them took each other out, which you saw when he said, look, Hamilton, you're not coming through in Austria, and just how mentally tough it's been over the last four races. And then to finally take the title, he's probably thought, can I do it again? Can I really steel myself to go into action and do all that? And there are a lot of other circumstances he's taken into account, family being a big one. And he's just thought, you know what, I'm going to retire when I'm at the very top. And that's what came across in my interviews with him. And he does look absolutely knackered too.
Well, you would be, wouldn't you? So you're sat opposite him, but the indication from his facial expressions, that wasn't that he's fallen out of love with the game or anything like that?
No. Honestly, I just took from everything that he said, you know, his body language, the whole issue that he believes the best thing is to quit while he's ahead, because he believes in his heart's heart that he wouldn't be able to, you know, take the title again. That's what he really believes. And I don't think he wants to go in and cross swords with Hamilton. I don't think he wants to go on and take on Mad Max Verstappen, as they're all calling him, because, you know, he's going to be an even bigger threat next year, we expect, with, you know, an even newer, better Red Bull for new regulations. Ricciardo, what Ferrari do, we don't know. And you know, he's decided just to stop at the moment. Whether, and this is what he won't be drawn on, whether he plans still to do a bit of racing, and whether he will come back in World Endurance Championship with someone like Porsche is another matter. But at the moment, you know, it's family time.
Do you remember another character who maybe has done a U-turn in the past in Formula One who said something like this, but has gone against that after a couple of years? Is there anyone that springs to mind, Tony?
Well, Mansell did it, didn't he, with Ferrari, and he threw his gloves into the crowd in 1990 with Ferrari, and he made a comeback. The last one to retire after winning the World Championship was Prost, again 93, but he didn't come back. And Niki Lauda was another one who said, you know, 79, he walked away, and then Ron Dennis persuaded him to come back. And possibly at 31 years of age, Rosberg, with everything before him, there is a possibility that after a year he will get, you know, itchy feet and fingers, and he'll want to be back in a racing car again, because it's what he's done since he was 6 years of age when his dad first put him in a kart.
Yeah, because as you say, he's known nothing else, has he? He's always had that insatiable appetite for motor racing. His entire life has been dedicated to getting to this point.
Yeah, and the other thing I think we've got to remember, we've seen this historically, that these kids now, because they come through from karting at the age of eight, from when they can race competitively all the way through. And if you take Hamilton as a case, he has not known anything else other than racetrack, hotel, racetrack, test, simulator, so on and so forth. So they don't even have time for any kind of social life, not a normal social life that a teenager would have, for example. And by the time they make it and they get into their early 20s and starting to win races and so on, they suddenly realize that there's other things in life other than, you know, just going around in circles. And, you know, they develop other interests and hobbies and socially. You look at Hamilton now, you know, with his music and with all the other things that he wants to do. But it still hasn't diverted him, but he's making time for them. Whereas Rosberg hasn't done anything else except the racing. And now he's going, for, you know, enough. I've got to look at the rest of my life. And from that perspective, I can understand totally where he's coming from. I think there's a bit of pressure from the family because his mother would never go to any races. She didn't want to watch. She'd been through it with her husband and his dad, world champion Keke Rosberg. You know, perhaps there's been a little bit of pressure, certainly from a parental point of view. And but he just wasn't there. He said, I get back absolutely knackered, you know, and I've got to go to the next test. And my wife would just let me sleep, close the doors while she's looking after the baby. And he said, I've contributed nothing. Now I intend to be, you know, a proper dad. So there's a lot of sympathy for him. And the applause in the room with all the great good of the sport on Sunday night and the Grosvenor Hotel. Mm. The applause for him was incredible. Standing ovation. And the same yesterday at the British Racing Drivers Club. And sitting in the audience, you know, Mansell, Hill, they're all there to, you know, give him all the accolades.
It says a lot about his personality. If Lewis Hamilton had pipped him to the title, would we still be having the same narrative now? Would he still be saying that he's hanging up the racing gloves?
No. He said if he'd lost, he would have come back and had another go, which is interesting, isn't it? So you can see his goal has been to win the world championship, and he doesn't think he can better that now he's done it. And, you know, his dad did it once, and his dad did it only with one win. In 1982, his dad did it through consistency.
Wow.
You know, lots of podiums and things. But there was no greater fiery driver than Keke Rosberg. You know, the flying Finn was unbelievably hard man of the track, and much more aggressive than his son, of course, who had to develop the aggressive side of his driving over the last 2 years to combat Hamilton.
You've sat down with both Lewis, you've sat down with Nico and the other characters within the game.
Yeah.
Are their personalities comparable at all or not? Are they at completely different ends of the scale?
They are chalk and cheese. You know, you take Nico, okay, because it's the world championship father who's Finnish, his mother is German. I think he spent 3 weeks in Germany before he went to Monte Carlo, where he's lived one almost, you can say, with a silver spoon in his mouth. And then Lewis, you know, coming from a very humble background where his dad took on loads of different jobs, from taxi driving to putting up for sale signs for estate agents, working all hours God sent just so that he could scrape the money together, you know, for his kid Lewis to go karting, because he believed his son had this, you know, innate talent, which of course we know, you know, best racing driver in the world on my books currently. And there's been incredible graft and, you know, an incredible sort of honesty between them and the family and so on. So the whilst the values might be similar, the route that they've taken is very different, and their personalities are like chalk and cheese, because, you know, Lewis is quite gregarious, but he's out there and he's happy to go around the world and promote Formula One and be very showbiz. Mm. And the other one, you know, is very family and pretty introvert.
Tony, reflecting on this season, has it been a decent one for you? Have you felt that it's achieved its aim as Formula One? It certainly had a dramatic climax.
Well, it, it wasn't just a dramatic climate. Say, you've got to look at Spain, for example, you know, with the collision between the two drivers. You look at the fantastic race in Russia. Look at the incredible race in Malaysia. One of the, well, highlights for the season for me, 2016, will be the Brazilian Grand Prix. My goodness, you know, and I said on Sky when we were doing the preview live, I got loads of pictures of previous Grand Prix at Brazil, and I said, this should be, as it used to be, the finale to the season, because it's one of those great old-fashioned tracks with hardly any runoff area that plunges up and down Dale, Interlagos, outside Sao Paulo. And so it proved, you know, it was, and look at what Verstappen did. And, you know, after his comeback in the wet there, he overtook something like 9 cars within about 11 laps to get onto the podium. It's phenomenal stuff. And he made world champions look silly. People like Vettel, you know.
So a rest for you now, or is it the rally cars?
No, I did the World Championship rally with Amy Williams, yeah. The Olympic Bob gold medalist girl, and I finished racing for the season, so I'm planning my rallying and racing for next year, but nothing stops. No, busy as ever at the agency, and then we'll start launching all the new cars and things in January, Autosport show coming up, and then the testing starts. Formula One, so it just carries on really
all year round. Tony, really appreciate your time.
No problem.
Thanks for joining me. That's Tony Jardine, Sky Sports commentator.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff.
Radio City Talk.